Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love marches. Well, some of them anyway. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from Crazy Times for another Home Alone edition, Homes Alone. It's Sunday, November 15th, 2020, and my guests today are John Gabris, Lori Kilmartin, and Julia Clare. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
Wow, that was like almost like you planned it. Let's meet everybody individually, starting with first-time guest Julia Clare is here. Hello, Julia.
Hello, Doug. Thank you so much for having me. This is very fun.
Well, so nice to have you. Brooklyn-based comedian that I don't think I've ever met in person.
No, I don't think so.
No, but I've been enjoying your tweets at @OhJuliaTweets.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here. And I just want to say I loved your tweet about, you know, people keep posting who they look like pictures.
Yeah.
And you just posted other women who have bangs.
That is me. I also separately posted most of the Manson girls because I get that a lot too. I do have a very Linda Kasabian vibe, I think.
Yeah, I was gonna say not squeaky.
No, not squeaky. I'm not small enough. I'm not like scrappy enough. I'm just kind of like, you know, I have that look in my eye that you don't know what's gonna happen.
Another first-time guest, I can't believe I'm saying this, Lori, is Lori Kilmartin. Hello.
Hi, Douglas.
welcome to detention.
I'm in trouble.
I try to keep it formal when it's the first time.
Yeah, we've explored that in depth on my other show, Wide World of Dougs, where we just talk about having the name Doug. And and Douglas is almost always a dressing down when it comes to Dougs. Like, we're rarely referred to that way. But Lori has a bestseller called Dead People Suck and is the co-host of the Jackie and Lori Show podcast with our friend Jackie Cation. And I'm proud of you for what you did. Was it last night that you didn't do that gig?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I about that.
Yeah. It was like a restaurant gig, you know, somebody decides to put up comedy, and it was pitched to me as an outdoor gig, and they have outdoor seating. So I pulled up and it all looked good, but then they had decided to move it indoors because they thought it was chilly. And it's Orange County. It's never chilly. So then I didn't go in. I mean, I looked through the glass into the room, and I just saw a ton of people eating within 1 foot of each other, not wearing masks. And I'm like, I don't want to walk in and breathe whatever these people are exhaling.
No, well, yeah, even that. If you don't, even if you're like a lot of these, I know a lot of comedians that just aren't personally afraid of the virus. It's still, you're watching people take the risk of giving it to each other while you're trying to tell them jokes.
Yeah, I don't know how to help a person can focus. Yeah, I mean, I'm not afraid I would die of COVID, but I do think if you get it, especially now, there might not be hospital beds if you get a bat. It's so fucking risky to tell jokes, you know, when you could just move the show outside and be okay.
Yeah. And even outside is, you know, I feel like a little bit of a risk. So like,
yeah,
how dumb do they have to be like, hey, let's have an outdoor show and then decide to move it indoors. It's like, wasn't the whole point that it was going to be outside?
Yeah.
Is that the big safety factor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's Orange County for you. And that's the other thing. I kind of felt like if these people were this comfortable in a restaurant maskless, then they've been probably careless 24 hours a day since March. So again, like, I don't trust them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did. I did the parking lot, you know, rooftop show at the Irvine Improv. And they did, you know, I think they did everything. They did a very nice job of setting the whole thing up. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, then the mall itself that it's in was just teeming with people running around without masks on.
Wow.
And then some of the other comics also were less into having masks on. So I'm like, well, I can't even hang out in the green room because I'm not, you know, so it's all very tricky, but you know, we're doing the best we can.
Yeah.
And, also joining us, speaking of doing the best that they can,
always
giving 72%. It's John Gingras, everybody.
Hell yeah, 72 counts as passing, 65 is passing. I'm not trying to fucking win.
You're just Gabrus, Gabrus on Twitter, and I'm always guilty. I'm always jealous of the people that have those really tight, simple Twitter handles that are just their name. Mm-hmm. Did you like sign up for Twitter day one, or is just Gabrus not
I kept popular? A track of it. I went, it's not that common. I went with at John Gabrus was my best bet early on, but I just kept, saw someone had it and they hadn't tweeted since like April 2007 or some shit like that, and I was like, can I just eventually get this? And I just kept like once a quarter would just tweet at Twitter and everyone be like, hey, I feel like I should be allowed to have this. This is my name. And this person hasn't tweeted in a decade. And then they eventually just gave it to me.
Wow.
Yeah. I asked to speak to the manager. And it
very inspiring story. Sticking up for yourself.
Yeah.
That's some good Orange County energy. Yeah.
Well, I'm from Long Island, so it's practically the same.
It's the
shit.
Same. I think it's the same.
They each have a Long Beach, so yeah.
Yeah.
They're both 45 minutes from liberal bastions, but seem to be 45 years behind them.
Oh my God, absolutely.
And John, you're doing your podcast remotely at this point?
Yeah, I'm not doing anything in person. And for the same reasons you guys are talking about, like, there's a restaurant by me that had outdoor seating. And now since it's gotten to be, you know, freezing temperatures out, they've like put out heaters and like a zip closed tent. So now they're just inside again.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They just created a second set of inside. Yeah, people just need to learn to fucking cook. It's driving me fucking crazy. Just make yourself a fucking burger. Stay home.
You don't want to be zipped into a hot plastic room?
Yeah, no.
What is wrong with you?
The shit I hear every once in a while from someone who's like a little too weird, or someone I is an acquaintance where they're like too close randomly, they're like, oh, I get tested like twice a week at work. And I'm like, I don't, what, you're working? Get the fuck out, wait for me. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, the guy's dog got loose and like came near my apartment. He just came over and he had no mask on. I was like, and we're all in masks, like trying to get 6 feet away in a tiny apartment patio. And he's like, no, it's okay. I get tested. I'm like, get the fuck away from us, man.
Oh my God. It's not okay.
I mean, there's a comedy club in New York that's been having indoor shows, which I think is absolutely batshit. I know people who I think are like, I thought were like otherwise on the level who are doing the shows, and I can't believe it.
It's hard because you get like FOMO when you see people touring. You're like, you asshole, you're gonna fucking kill people, and you're like, I would fucking kill for that weekend.
Oh, like, yeah.
I want to kill people.
I'm to kill people. How come I'm not?
I am trying to be America's next great super spreader, and that's that.
I'm just finding out people I thought were smart aren't, and I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's some comics that I see them really pushing, you know, that their shows are safe, but, you know, there's still food and drink at the shows. So people pull their masks down to do that. And, you know, and they're inside. So it's already like, well, that's not as safe as you like to think it is.
Also, most of these comedians, and I say this as, you know, as a dirtbag myself, but most of these comedians I wouldn't like trust to stay in my home for like an hour. I don't trust you to assess the safety of a health code situation.
Yeah, to be fair, that's not what you want of any comedian, that they're
true.
I just need to tell dick jokes on a certain schedule that you can line up with.
Yeah, there's real, I just got an STD test, no reason to use a condom energy.
Hey, listen, I got an STD test. It was a couple weeks ago, and I've had sex since then, but don't worry.
That's what people are like, oh, I got a COVID test last week. I'm like, but you, where have you been? Oh, you've been at the gym 5 days this week? Fuck away from me, man.
You've been eating samples at Costco? it's tricky because everybody gets to make their own rules. About you know what's safe and what's not safe, and I do it because I've done outdoor shows where they think it's an extra layer of protection that they take every comedian's temperature. And it's well, hey, I'm not dying of it at this moment, but go ahead and take my temperature and go, oh well, at least now we've narrowed it down to he might be asymptomatic.
I know. are people not reading the full articles?
One
article
not.
Gives you all the info you need, and they're pulling out after two paragraphs or something.
Asymptomatics it's exhausting a word to read. There's too many syllables.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they just tap midway through and they're like, I got this.
I mean, this disease, this pandemic is genetically designed, like it's in a lab to kill Americans specifically. It's like all you have to do is follow rules brought down from. No, that's not happening here.
It's true.
Yeah, it's pretty bad if you're obese. It's like, well, fuck. All right. No.
Yeah,
it's right. Like, it's my God.
Yeah, the only rule is you have to consider the common good.
Yeah. It's like, all, the only cure is thinking about other people.
Yeah.
Selflessness.
Yeah, it's like some bullshit sci-fi movie where it turns out empathy is what kills the aliens. Or whatever.
The end of our country.
I used to think aliens coming to Earth would like bring everyone together, but now I just feel like people would be like, they're not fucking real. This is a hoax. It's like, oh shit, now we're gonna get fucking zapped.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming by, everybody.
I'm comfortable with getting that reaction one out of five or so. That's okay.
No, I liked it, and I didn't want to step on any tags. I myself didn't have a tag. I was hoping that one of the other two would join in, and it was awkward, and I apologize
I'm sorry. I feel like I let down the group, and I just feel like it wasn't my place to give.
Guys, no, I'll take this one. I'll take the L on that one. It's fine. I'm gonna take a lot of at-bats, so that's you.
Every joke in a comedy podcast is a hot potato that everyone's going to jump at, or it's going to fall to the ground.
One dude is going to really burn his fucking hands when he refuses to let go of it.
I do a box office report on the show every week because I, you know, I do like the fact that people are seeing movies in drive-ins and in hopefully movie theaters are selling way below capacity. I mean, clearly they are, because even movie theaters that are only doing like 25% capacity, they're not even selling out those tickets, because there's just a lot of people out there. They're just like, I'm not even going to mess with that. But I do hope that film exhibition stays alive. And so I will tell you that the number one movie in the country, according to, I just checked this weekend, is Freaky.
No,
starring Vince Vaughn.
No.
I mean, if you're not a Vince Vaughn fan, here's the good news. It's number one, but it's only made $3.7 million.
Okay, well, that makes me feel better.
Which is considered a very bad opening for a big movie in normal times. But I guess this Freaky movie, it's gotten some pretty good reviews, because it's like taking the Freaky Friday thing, but Vince Vaughn has like a, he's like a serial killer who switches bodies with a teenage girl. So I am kind of curious to watch that giant weirdo play pretend to be a teenage girl.
Yeah.
But I also will wait until it's free to do so.
I bet he studied how they move in porns. That's why I feel like he did his homework.
Yeah, and by the way, my exclamation was not because I'm not a Vince Vaughn fan per se. It was just because the premise of that movie deeply upsets me.
It's like, let's just rip off Freaky Friday. If we drop the Friday, nobody's going to notice. Just call it Freaky. And then, of course, at number two is the latest Kevin Costner movie. And so it's also great to see that men are still ruling the box office. The people that are braving going out to theaters are just going to see movies about men.
I'll tell you who's comfortable storming into a movie theater and taking their mask off while drinking big gulps. Men. I'll tell you who's comfortable touring the United States doing live comedy.
Yeah.
Men. Yeah, dude. See, there seems to be parallels here.
Yeah. The number three movie is The War with Grandpa. That movie's been in the top five for weeks. It's Christopher Walken and Robert De Niro, no doubt embarrassing themselves.
Oh my God, I haven't even heard of that.
I haven't either.
Oh, The War with Grandpa is just the impending Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It's like, did they do a reboot of Gran Torino?
Is this De Niro's second grandpa movie? He did Dirty Grandpa, right? Or Uncle Grandpa?
Yeah, he's, he's going to try. I assume he'll do a third. I think it's probably a trilogy of grandpa movies.
Martin Scorsese directs a grandpa movie with
him. Did you guys ever work with Uncle Dirty? It was Uncle Dirty.
Is that Larry Reeb?
No, that's your Uncle Lair.
He was Uncle something too, right?
Yeah, Uncle Lair.
Oh,
but
okay.
Uncle, just the Grandpa Dirty thing just reminded of Uncle Dirty. He's like he's like an old school. I think he worked at Atlantic City a lot. No, I'm sorry, I just totally derailed this conversation from you.
No, I'm interested in Uncle Dirty. I never got to work with Uncle Dirty.
Okay.
Do you think he's still in the game?
I don't think so. I think he's Uncle Under 6 Feet Dirty.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody under 50 or 60 would have Uncle in their name, in their stage name. So he probably has been around for a long time.
I bet you he's, because Uncle Dirty, that connotation changed about 15 years ago. So I feel like you wouldn't casually start yourself off with like a light lean towards pedo in your stage.
You're right. Yes.
Yeah. Back in the day, Uncle Dirty was probably like, hey, I'm your Uncle Dirty. We talk a little trash or whatever. I feel like a new Uncle Dirty has like a new meaning. It would be like the Blumhouse Freaky reboot. It's like Uncle Dirty. Ew.
Well, it does feel like, with the absence of the uncle comedians, that there's an opening in the market for me to rebrand myself as Uncle Julia.
It's possible because of Kamala Harris, aunties will be more popular, and I would like to pitch Auntie Julia.
Okay. I mean, yeah, honestly, I respect that suggestion. I like Uncle more, I think. But...
I mean, we all get to decide what we are now. So if you want to be Uncle Julia, then all more power to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And,
but you're going to have the material is going to be really interesting.
I think so.
Okay, well, I'll move on, but I thought of another comedian that I wanted to talk about. Oh, let's do it anyway, because it's kind of a movie thing. Lori, did you ever work with a lady who called herself Mrs. John Hughes?
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
Becky Pettigo in Colorado.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I love this, that you know specifically where she was a nice enough lady, but it always drove me crazy that her, you know, because I'd often be like emceeing somewhere and she'd, you know, I'd have to go up after her set was over. So I'd have to watch the last part where she did a rap song. She
I remember, yes.
And I never forget that. I forget the couplet, but the very last line was, and it's about like her son. And then the last line is, and I smoked his weed.
Oh my God.
That's like a triumphant moment that some lady smoked her kid's weed.
Oh my God.
But in the Doug Benson biopic, that's like your origin story where you nod your head and you're like, weed, huh?
Yeah. Oh, the mere mention of it gets applause. I'm in.
Yeah. But she would crush, right? I mean,
she would destroy, but yeah. You know, there was that very kind of, you know, it's very old fashioned to call herself Mrs. John Hughes. But when I asked her the first time I met her, I stupidly got excited about the name John Hughes. Because I love movies. And so I was like, oh, you're married to John Hughes? And then she told me, a young comic who's excited about this concept. She's like, yes, I am. You know, like that was her response. Because her husband is, of course, his name is John Hughes. Mm-hmm. It's a very common name. But for years, I was just like, well, she could have just said not that John Hughes. That's a name that somebody should do is like just go on stage as Mrs. Michael Jackson.
Maybe that's how she got all that headlining work is.
Yeah.
I thought she was married to that.
A lot of Breakfast Club fans booking clubs.
My college improv group did a show in the cabaret at my college. And we called it David Matthews and Timothy Reynolds. Trying to get like the Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds heads there. And we just, that was the name of what, and then we got there and did like fucking sitting, standing, kneeling. People fucking were pissed.
This is my impression of an improv show today. Okay, we're going to need a suggestion. I've got a suggestion. Don't do this show.
Now, you should see it on Zoom. It pops even more. It's even less humiliating on Zoom.
Oh, man. That's a rough one. I mean, it's weird doing stand-up on Zoom, but improv on Zoom must just be, it just doesn't.
Yeah, podcasts eats improv's lunch. It's like, why the fuck would you watch an improv show when you just listen to choose who you listen to rather than like 8 24-year-olds you've never heard of?
Yeah, with a weird name.
Yeah, so, says the guy, by the way, who's been doing improv for free for 15 years. So I should say
what,
that.
You don't have to pay to do it? all right, so that's the box office report. Now here's the part of the show where I ask everybody what they've been watching and if they have a film, could be a TV show, but I prefer movies that you would, wholeheartedly recommend for people to, watch as a form of escape. Does anybody have something they'd like to recommend?
On election day, this is ultimate escapism for me. On election day, I watched all four Daniel Craig James Bond. I ate 100 milligram edible with my coffee and then watched all four Daniel Craig James Bonds.
100 milligrams?
Yeah, I felt.
Oh my God.
I felt, my wife had to like work and I'm just like laying on the couch, like mouth like dry as fuck watching but Daniel Craig after Daniel Craig after Daniel Craig.
God, I don't even know anything about weed, but that sounds like a lot.
It what I mean, used to sound
about,
like a.
I don't know anything about edibles. I've smoked weed. I've totally done that a number of times.
Mrs. Hughes.
Exactly.
How many milligrams did you smoke?
Is that how you measure it?
Not when you smoke it, no. But John doing 100, that lines up for me. Like that's where if I was doing edibles, that's about where I'd be at, because you build up a tolerance.
Yeah, the quarantine has made me like really my tolerance has gone. I'm like a horse now. I've just been consuming daily at like, well, it gets earlier every day. It's like 3:30 is my cutoff. I got to work. And then now it's just like, you can work stoned. And I just get high upon waking up.
Every time I've taken an edible, I either don't feel it or I am completely on the floor, just like incapacitated. There is no in between. Yeah.
They're tricky. They're very, very tricky to negotiate. You know, like sometimes you take one and you end up sitting through four James Bond movies, which they're not short movies.
No, you're talking like 10 hours.
You put some time in.
Yeah.
And did you walk away with, like, where are you at with, you know, we just lost Sean Connery. Is Daniel Craig now your favorite Bond?
He currently is. It was Roger Moore previously, but Daniel Craig kept this, like, you know, 5 on the Kinsey scale, hetero, very distracted for 10 hours. He's something special, that Daniel Craig.
He is.
Yeah. Handsome as fuck, and his, like, he's playing like the corniest character ever, and he's pulling it off like so well. It was very enjoyable for me. Also, it's very funny how many foot chases James Bond is involved in. It feels like it should be below like the tuxedo martini guy, but he's constantly running from or after people. And I was like, this feels like a job you pass along once you're 007. You're like, send in the runner guys. I just kind of fuck and like deal with high level lasers and shit.
One of those movies, he's like on a building that completely collapses and he walks away. He's like on the roof and he just ends up walking down to the ground as it collapses under. Yeah.
You guys are just jealous that you can't do that.
That's 100% part of why I like it so much, is that I'm very jealous of Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
But do you feel like they audition their running styles? Because he and Tom Cruise have a very distinct but powerful running style. And I feel like if you had kind of your arms were flailing a little bit, you'd be a terrible James Bond. You have to have a really powerful arm pump when you run.
Yeah, that's actually why I was passed over and people don't talk about that.
I think if their legs, if Tom Cruise or Daniel Craig's legs give out, they'd still keep moving forward just because of the arm pumping.
Cruise is maybe the best on-camera runner.
Really is. He's a fucking movie star. He is so, you know, everything about him makes my head hurt. But you see him on screen and you're like, God damn.
Yeah.
You see him on screen and you're like, I don't care what happened to Shelley Miscavige. I just need more of this guy.
He is a little bit of propaganda where you're like, I mean, Scientology does work sometimes. Like, this dude
worked out pretty well for one guy. that's the thing, is I think he just throws himself into everything with such enthusiasm.
Yeah.
That's how he got caught up in Scientology, is he's just like, he's just an intense dude. And so, like, you know, what's left when you're you're one of the biggest movie stars in the world and you have all the money you want and all the weird wives that will just pretend to be your wife. You know, what's left besides, like, you know, religious power? You know, he can't run for office because I don't think he's that kind of smart.
No.
Right.
Also, yeah, I mean, Scientology is... like all the auditing or whatever is just getting to talk about yourself for the whole time. So I think it's like Nexium.
Yeah, the EMs. It feels a lot like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they borrowed it from. That's basically what it's based off of is the Scientology auditing. You're just talking about yourself, and then the parent organization uses all of your secrets against you. which is, you know, a personal dream of mine. So that's where I'm headed.
Yeah, they have secrets from Tom Cruise, like that he really didn't give his all while making Night and Day with Cameron Diaz.
But it's so weird with stand-up now, like the more secrets you divulge, you know, you almost don't need jokes. Sometimes the way some people are just kind of using their past as material.
Yeah.
He could just convert everything that he gave them to stand-up material is what I'm saying, and be free.
And he would be the next Mrs. John Hughes.
Yes.
Okay, John Gabris, if people don't have 10 hours to commit to Daniel Craig James Bond movies, which one would you say, having just watched them all, is your favorite?
Ooh, my favorite of them is probably Casino Royale. I know it's the first one, but it's really exciting. It has poker and it has Eva Green, who's beautiful.
And it has one of the most unusual, like when a bad guy ties somebody down to torture his balls.
It has some real BDSM stuff where he's hitting James Bond in the cock with a big knotted up piece of rope. And you're like, I've accidentally watched videos like this before.
Just the flourish that he gives, like the guy had to practice hitting somebody in the balls with a knotted up rope. Like he's really good at it.
And the fact that his tell in poker is when his eye tears blood is like when it's a sign of he's bluffing. It's like arch. It's so awesome. To go, his eyes tearing blood. He must be bluffing. Go all in, James.
I like that that one. I like the theme song. Isn't that the one that the Soundgarden guy?
Yes. With Chris Cornell? Chris Parnell. He does the rap. He does a rap with Andy Samberg.
Okay, so Julia, what have you been watching anything that you'd recommend?
Yeah, I last night I watched A Bigger Splash. That it's like a Luca Guadagnino movie from 2015 before he did Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, it's like Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah, and Ralph is so good in it, and he plays maybe the most annoying character I've ever seen portrayed on screen, and he fucking knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, he really, that guy has a lot of range.
He really does. And also I'm just like Tilda Swinton also stars in it. And I'm just like kind of endlessly fascinated by her. I think she's just the coolest alien princess in the world.
Hell yeah.
I will say that going back to like watching movies, my early in quarantine, my roommate and I ate edibles and then watched Moonstruck for the first time. I'd never seen it. And I don't know if you know this, but if you get too high and then watch that movie, like Moonstruck is fully a horror movie. It's, I don't know. Nicolas Cage is terrifying in it. And
yeah, every time he like is waving around that wooden hand and screaming about, I've got a wooden hand. It's like, oh my God, this guy is going to kill somebody.
Yeah. And he just like, I mean, he speaks like he can't read a little bit. Where are you taking me? To the bed. It's so scary. It's so scary. I don't know. Yeah, I can't recommend that. But I did really like a bigger Splash. But my favorite movie that I watched in quarantine was God's Own Country, which is like a love story set in like an English farming town. It's two hot guys, hot like farmhand men falling in love. It's the same guy who plays Prince Charles on The Crown, young Ooh. Prince Charles on The Crown.
And it's called In God's Country?
It's called God's Own Country.
Oh, God's Own Country.
It's really good. It's the performances are like really spectacular. Very good.
Okay. And that, do you know if that's available like streaming somewhere?
Yeah. It's on, I think I might have watched it on Canopy, but I think it's also on Netflix or Hulu or something like that. It's definitely on the streaming services. It's really really good.
All right, I'll track it down and then share it with everybody on my on the Doug Loves Movies Twitter, which everyone should follow, by the way. Lori, what about you? What's have you had time to watch anything? You've been busy, you know, going to gigs that don't happen.
This eat up a lot of time. You know, it's not a movie, but I just rewatched Breaking Bad, and it was so different the second time around.
I saw your tweets about it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it was so cool the first time. And I guess, aside from maybe The Sopranos, there hadn't been a TV show like that where everyone was awful. Almost everyone is an awful person. And this time around was so depressing. And Walt was for some reason I thought that he turned bad, but he was a shitty person before he found out he had cancer. Flare ups, you know, and then it was, it was eye opening to remember how differently I felt about it just 10 years ago.
Yeah. The woman who plays his wife on the show, is a terrific actress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember hating her because she was always in the way of what Walt was trying to do for her and the rest of his family. And, you know, and then reading your tweets, I was like, yeah, I bet you that's not going to hold up. I bet you I'd go the other way on that, because the whole story, like, you know, that the hatred that was thrown at her for... I mean, she still won some acting awards and stuff because the show was just, it's so good. But it's also early on, and this is a spoiler for anybody who hasn't gotten around to Breaking Bad. What is it? Season 3 or 4, where like Walt is essentially responsible in a way for an entire plane full of people crashing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Indirectly. Yes.
Yeah. It's indirect, but it's still like, oh boy. I mean, this guy, he's irredeemable at that point, and yet he's still the hero of the show for several more seasons.
I know.
Yeah. You're like, I Skyler keeps getting in the way of him senselessly killing people and also selling a drug that's destroyed an entire economic class of people. It's like, you
what a
bitch.
Fucking bitch.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, he's just trying to get, you know, buy a new pair of crutches for his son.
Oh my god,
his son's the only good person
I think he is. I and do you remember that thing going around on Twitter? There was somebody tweeted like a year ago, like about that show, saying like the show's villain, and then there was a picture of Walt, and then it says the actual villain, and it said, and it was Skyler, a picture of Skyler, and I was like, dude, just say you fucking hate women.
<I know.
laughs>
Oh my god,
I know. It's the wife really annoys me. It's like this... oh yeah.
Interesting. He's bringing his home life into this criticism.
But even the way he spoke to Jesse in the RV, he was just so rude and condescending. Like,
that's such a funny criticism to have about like two guys cooking meth. Really rude.
It's true though. But he was sort of like that all the time. And then he had the fake voice when he was fake nice to his kid, and his kid didn't pick up on it. It was hard to finish because I hated him so much, you know. But I loved Gus Fring, and you know, after he went, it was hard to finish it because I thought that performance was brilliant.
Giancarlo Esposito is so good in that.
Yeah, and his death in that is just so like a horror movie. Yeah.
I love it. It's like
it's so crazy.
In Dark Knight.
Or like a cartoon. It's like a cartoon. Like a person can like half of them fall off.
Yeah, it's like Wile E. Coyote. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that happened to Daffy Duck once, I think. So what about, have you gotten into Better Call Saul at all?
Yeah, that's kind of what got me back into Breaking Bad, as I started Better Call Saul thinking the whole thing was finished and I could enjoy the entire series. And then when I finished it, I'm like, this isn't wrapped up at all. And then I read that they're holding back on shooting six until they can do it safely. So I was like,
yeah, I mean, it's already a lot of scenes out in the desert where they're standing far apart. But if anybody can do it, I think they can pull it off. I love that show. And like, you know, at first I was like, I kind of like this better than Breaking Bad. And now it's Better Call Saul is something I would watch in its entirety again. But like, I can walk away from Breaking Bad for life, basically.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Because Better Call Saul, there's a lot more shading in everybody. Everybody's kind of, you know, got a good side, even though they're still basically all villains.
Yeah, and they just linger on scenes in a way that I really like that TV hasn't done in a long time. And they always have some intro camera angle that's just wild. And then they go into the scene. But it's just such a unique way to enter a scene. And they do that at least two or three times an episode.
What about the Breaking Bad movie? Did you add that on at the end when you watched it all?
Is there a movie?
I forgot.
Yeah, it's called El Camino.
El Camino.
What?
Yeah, it's you know, it's basically about Jesse, but they managed to get Walt in there in one of those. I hate when they de-age an actor with special
effects. Oh no!
Oh no!
Yeah, it's that part's kind of rough to watch. It's kind of like all of The Irishman.
His third grandpa movie.
Irish grandpa.
Irish grandpa.
All right. So Lori's recommendation is to hate watch Breaking Bad again.
Yes.
Everybody do that. Thank you for all of your recommendations. I just want to throw in that obviously everybody loves it. I'm not bringing up anything anybody doesn't know, but The Queen's Gambit is really good.
Oh, I just finished that last night too. I really enjoyed it.
I was just talking to Josh Gondelman about that today, and he said that it's way darker than he was expecting. It's like sad.
Oh, for me, it was the opposite.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any spoilers, but I couldn't believe that it wasn't. I was expecting a bleak show, and it was like, it was just casual and sweet the whole way for me.
Oh, man. I haven't watched
That's also me and Gondelman on a spectrum to pretty much. That, like, if you know both of us, that makes sense that we both feel that way.
Well, the setup is, you know, the first hour is, you know, it's never fun watching, you know, someone be orphaned and then live in a shitty orphanage.
I mean, right. Speak for yourself, Doug.
But it ultimately really is a movie about someone that's not defined by their past trauma. And in that sense, it's very triumphant. So check it out if you
The adopted mother's living room is a symphony of teals and blues that I can't get enough of.
Yeah, so that's Marielle Heller acting. The direct, she's a wonderful director and has made great movies.
Is that Emily's sister?
Yes, yes.
The mom?
The mom, right? Yeah. Isn't that wild? I had no idea.
Yeah, she's such a good actress. She's so good in that role. And she took it just as I wanted to take a break from directing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She's so good as the mom.
Yeah, she directs movies that are hard to remember the titles, like Can You Ever Forgive Me and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
And the other one's like A Diary of a Teenage Girl or A Teenage Girl's Diary or something like that. They are full phrases.
Damn, I love
that lady is crazy talented, and she's married to Jorma Taccone.
Yeah, that's a very talented power
couple.
Wow. I found all that out when I just looked up her name while watching Queen's Gambit because I thought she was so good on that.
I think Can You Ever Forgive Me was so good, and I know
it was
that some
awesome.
I know that some people thought it was like a little slow or something like that. But I loved it. I saw it in theaters more than once. I thought everybody, Richard E. Grant, I would watch him, you know, read the newspaper.
Is that about a woman who steals, mm-hmm. or am I thinking of something else?
She forges documents.
Yes.
It's like forging historical documents.
Right. Great.
Letters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Obviously Melissa McCarthy is amazing. It's so good. I think it was a little slept on. I'll say it.
Oh, mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah,
that's a good one. Let's add that to the list of things people
I will check out. To your point though, Doug, I feel like that title of that movie doesn't make you remember the movie at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's nothing about it that connects it.
I'm not the fan of random sentences that are slapped on as a title. I'd rather they just, you know, There's so many things they could have called that movie that yeah. would be yeah, would like be easier to
forgery
remember.
Lady.
The famous like Joaquin Phoenix has movies that are like Wish You Were Here, You've Never Really Here, and You Were Never Really There. And like, and then there's also like a Bob Dylan movie that has a similar title. It's like so I can never figure out which one of those is which.
Yeah. And he's also got he's got two movies that like if they switch titles, it would make perfect sense. There's a movie that's not a Western called Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot.
Right.
Yeah. It's not a Western.
It's not a Western. And then it's a guy, it's a cartoonist in a wheelchair. And then then he's in a Western called The Sisters Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
That movie's great. I really enjoyed The Sisters
it's
Brothers.
It's very unpleasant, though.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Very unpleasant things happen in that movie.
Yes, it's brutal, but it's. I enjoyed that movie.
I also I didn't like that when Birdman came out. Birdman had it was Birdman or parentheses the unexpected virtue of ignorance.
Yeah, I choose Birdman.
Just call me the option.
I don't understand. I don't even understand that the punctuation. Like, why is or inside the parentheses?
No, it's
and why is it in parentheses if it's an alternate another I didn't get any
no of it's the or that's what's so chaotic about it. It says Birdman or parentheses the unexpected virtue of ignorance. Isn't that just pure chaos? I guess.
Yeah, because I didn't even remember it right. But great movie though.
Good movie. Good
great movie if you're in the mood for a lot of drumming.
Yeah,
like the soundtrack is just like drumming all the time. Like you know, it's like you're watching
Whiplash.
The Miles Teller movie.
Yeah, Miles Teller movie. Yes,
I love
like
that
you're
movie.
Watching that Miles Teller movie, Footloose. All right. Well, thanks for the recommendations, and it's time for me to say, shall we play a game?
Yes.
Nobody wants to. Great.
Yeah.
Oh, it's time. I guess it's time for us to say yes. Okay.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say it then.
Yeah. We'll be right back to play a game after these words.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, we're back, and I'm excited to play this game with my guests today. I've really enjoyed playing it over the last couple of months. The game is called Weird Algorithm, and I think, John, you might have played it the last time you were on?
Maybe.
It's the game where IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, has this peculiar function where you can take the cast of anything and hit refine, and it'll list them instead of order of billing in order of their popularity at the moment that you're looking at it. Because IMDb has a popularity index where all the different actors, you know, rise and fall. And so it's always a interesting results based on, you know, not, you know, like a movie that stars Harrison Ford, somebody in a small supporting role could be listed above him on this popularity listing just because they're in the news or they've got a new project that people are excited about. So it's ends up being a fun guessing game where you don't necessarily need to know a lot. It's you can kind of luck into a win. So what I'll do is I'll name a movie. We'll go alphabetically, so we'll start with Julia Clare. I'll name a movie, and then all you have to do is try to guess who would be the top, the number one most popular individual in that film today, according to IMDb.
Okay.
And then after we get Julia's answer, we'll go to John and then to Lori. Each of you will play three rounds. Each of you will get a chance to go first. You get 3 points if you name the number one person, 2 for 2 and 1 for 3. And everybody can share answers if you want. It's not terribly strategic, but you can give the same answer as somebody else if you think they took the correct one. And, you know, I'll remind you how this works as we go if anybody's confused. The first film, Julia, is Knives Out.
Speaking of
Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
He's in that, of course, along with lots of other famous people.
My guess at this would be Chris Evans.
That's a very good guess. Chris Evans, popular actor. He was
Wonderful Hog.
People loved his sweater in that.
His genitals.
I mean,
wrong end of the sentence there. Sorry, Doug.
it's such a good movie, and I really want the whole aesthetic of that movie to be like the theme at my funeral or something.
Oh, that'd be great. Like a big chair of knives that's people stand in front of while delivering a eulogy.
And also just like shelves lined with books and like Persian rugs and very spooky. That's what I'm trying to go out with.
Rian Johnson is sounds like he's fired up to do like a sequel or at least another whodunit kind of movie, which people are just not making anymore.
I know.
Have to watch like episodic television to see that kind of thing. And it was really Knives Out is super fun. Okay, so Julia's going with Chris Evans.
Yeah.
What do you think, John?
I just because he's on my mind, I got to go with my boy DC, Daniel Craig.
That's fair. Did you like his accent in Knives Out?
I was fully engulfed by Knives Out. I liked everything about it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Really, yeah.
His accent really is just a Russian roulette situation. I don't know what he's doing.
They're lucky there was any scenery left after all the chewing he did. What do you think, Lori?
Well, just to answer differently, so I don't, you know, just copy John or Julia, I'm going to say Jamie Lee Curtis.
Ooh.
Okay.
She is beautiful in that movie. I'm just here to be. That woman is so hot in that movie. But she looks amazing with white hair.
Yeah, she looks great.
Yeah, she leads a real Activia lifestyle.
We call her one wife in. Jamie here. We love
Does
her.
Does anybody want to change their answer, or is everybody locked in?
I'm locked in.
I'm locked in.
Locked. Okay.
Producer Matt just sent me his guest via text, and I'd like him to stop doing that. okay, so coming in at, I'll go all the way to number 6, is good old JGL, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then number 5, kind of a shocker, Chris Evans.
Ooh. What?
Yeah, he didn't crack the top 3.
Hmm. Also, where is Joseph Gordon-Levitt even in Knives Out? Oh, is he what am I thinking of? Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
I can't pick. Is he one of the siblings? I don't remember him.
I think he's a detective. I'm just looking on a cast list.
Now that you mention it, like he must just pop in somewhere, maybe even uncredited. Because IMDb loves the uncredited performances. But that's so funny. When I wrote it down, I didn't even think, wait, is he even in that? All right. So number 4, sad to say, it's your boy, Daniel Craig.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Because you know who's at number 3? Toni Collette.
Oh, my God.
Right.
She is so good all the time.
Yeah. She's eternal.
Should have been Oscar nominated for Hereditary, Has anybody been watching or watched Unbelievable on Netflix?
Oh, yes. Great.
She is so good in that.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Merritt Wever as her, like, the two of them team up to stop rape.
Also a terrible title for,
it tells me that. Really bad. I think it's based on, wasn't it based on a couple of articles, and maybe one of them had that word in the article?
Or probably,
the
but,
the article.
Yeah.
But it's a good series. I haven't gotten through the whole thing yet, but I've been watching it. Coming in at number two, worth 2 points for Lori, it's Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm going to try to not gloat.
I was so confident about my answer. I am shocked. And you know what I'll say? I'm disappointed in Chris Evans. And I will put this on him.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he'll be back up the running back up the popularity scale pretty soon, because he's always up to something. Like, he's Captain America in all of our heart.
Well, Julia, you did just have your ass handed to you, so I hope you handle it well.
Yeah, I think I beat you by one spot.
Yeah. I personally won't handle it well, but that's just really my process.
I think Jamie Lee Curtis scored so highly because she, she's in the next Halloween movie. You know, they put her in the last one, and now she's going to be in another one that they've gone ahead and delayed the release. The movie's done, and they've delayed the release until next Halloween.
Wow.
Yeah, which, I mean, I guess they think that's a smart move financially, but it's just sad to me that we can't, even if it's just on TV, I'd just rather see it now instead of wait. But number one from Knives Out, Ana de Armas.
No way.
Yeah.
Hey, cool.
She's probably getting a lot of Google, and her career is like even more lifting off than everyone else's, right?
Yeah. I mean, she's incredible in that movie. She is like, I had never seen her in anything before that movie.
Yeah. This is her big break, right?
But she was amazing. I love the close-ups of her face.
Yeah. She's number one right now of this cast, I believe, because the movie she did with Keanu Reeves years ago called Knock Knock is very popular on Netflix right now.
Oh yes, I just saw that. The classic horror movie of, oh no, my wife's gonna find out I did something sketchy. Men write we write movies where it's like, what if two chicks seduce you and it's gonna get you in trouble with your wife? It's like, yeah, huge problem in life.
Yeah, it's really the whole movie. You're just like, oh, poor Keanu. Because we also know real life Keanu. There's probably hardly anybody with a better reputation than him.
Right. Oh my God.
You know, he's like the Tom Cruise that's not in Scientology.
Yeah.
Right. And he dates women that are sort of his age, which
age
is
age appropriate, vaguely stunning. Age appropriate women. Yeah. We love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. I think we meaning the four of us.
I meant the sort of his age part.
Yeah.
In the ballpark, I guess. Okay, so but he's also too busy learning how to, you know, shoot guns of all different types for his John Wick movies. He's really married to his career, I think.
Yeah.
And I hear he's very funny in that Ali Wong movie with Ali Wong and Randall Park that I still have not seen.
I watched about half of it on a plane. It was really good.
Yeah.
I got to finish it.
Yeah. They say he's really funny in that. So.
Oh, that movie is great. And Keanu is very fun in that. Everyone's good in that.
What's it
Ali and Randall?
Did all always be my maybe? Is that the one?
Yes. Again, it's a phrase that's very hard to remember.
People have to stop this.
I haven't seen it, but I will watch anything Ali Wong.
You just don't even know when you're saying the title of a movie anymore. You could be like, hey, I'm going to go to the store. Oh, I've seen that.
And you saying they don't make whodunits anymore. They don't make comedy leaning rom-coms anymore.
The rom-com is, it's really so sad. There's like one good one every like 10 years now.
Yeah. And as like, they don't even make non-comic book action movies anymore. Like all my, that's like all the movies I grew up liking, rom-coms, whodunits, legal thrillers, and action movies, they just don't make anything like that anymore. It's insane.
Did you guys see, there's this, I guess Lifetime, they're releasing, you know, holiday movies and all that kind of stuff. Stuff that they started filming recently, and they're having the actors kiss through plexiglass. And then they'll remove the plexiglass in post, so it looks like they're actually kissing each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just let it
be. I mean, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. I mean, their lips will be all mashed backwards, but somehow they're going to take it.
Yeah. What was the, there was an example of it that they were specific actors, but now I forget who it was. But yeah, that's the plan. Just kiss some plastic. Like, where's that plastic been? I want the history of that plastic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Coming up next, another movie that has a big cast of pretty famous people, and Chris Evans is one of them. So you already kind of know where Chris Evans stands in general on IMDb today. It's Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, so good. I love it.
It's one of my favorites. It's a real go-to for, like, just if I just want to just have fun wash over me and not
it's so fun. And it was the 10-year anniversary of it was recently. So I rewatched it, and it's so good. It's a gem.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You did great.
I'll still take credit. What do you think? Let's start with John this round. Who do you think from the amazing cast of Scott Pilgrim, who would be number one?
Shit. Number one. Why am I? Aubrey Plaza.
Well, that's an interesting pick. What do you think, Lori?
I'm going to say Kieran Culkin.
Ooh,
oh, that's
hurts so good.
He's great in that movie, and he's great on Succession.
Yeah.
To keep my streak alive, God, Jerry is so hot.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, I want that exact dynamic so bad.
Julia, what do you think?
Brie Larson?
I was hoping you'd go Chris Evans again.
I can't, because he's wronged me.
Yeah, you blamed him, so you're not gonna fuck with him again.
Okay, is everybody locked in?
Mm-hmm.
Locked.
I find this very interesting. Coming in at number 13 of the cast of that movie is Michael Cera, Scott Pilgrim himself.
Titular character.
Yeah, so he needs to do something. He needs to, because he's great, and that's way too low. But then let's jump all the way up to number four is she plays his sister, Anna Kendrick.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a very small role for her, but she's great. Like, she is great. Everybody in that movie. And then number three, which puts Julia on the board, I believe, is Brie Larson.
Okay.
I said it the way she did, with a question mark at the end. And then this is a real heartbreaker. Number two is Chris Evans.
No way. God damn.
And then number one, and I feel like this is the right thing to do. Ramona Flowers, Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Oh my God. No, that's crazy.
Yeah. But
I mean, she's great.
She's so great because the entire movie hinges on everybody going, yeah, I'd fight for her.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, she's more awesome than anybody else. Like, and she really pulls it off.
She sells so it.
And I think she's number one because she was great in the recent season of Fargo, which I think all of Fargo.
Oh, yes, yes. That's what it was.
She also is in the Birds of Prey with Margot Robbie, the Harley Quinn movie, and
that was the last movie I saw in theaters before the pandemic happened.
Same. So that was my last one too. Yeah.
Yeah.
The last one I saw was The Gentleman, so I'm fine with not going.
I mean, okay, so Matthew McConaughey selling weed, you would think that movie would be made for me. And I was, when I watched the trailer, I was like, I don't know if it's exactly made for me.
It's so yappy. It's really, it's as chatty as Succession, but what they're talking about isn't as interesting. I left partway through the movie because I was like, well, I can just watch this at home because things were starting to lock down when I saw it. And I was just like, this isn't even worth, I shouldn't even be in this. There weren't that many other people in the theater, but I still felt weird. So got out of there. Okay. So let's do one more round. We're running a little long on time. So we'll jump right into it. Lori has two, Julie has one, John. This is your chance. You can do it.
Uh-oh.
The film is, I know we just, the season, Halloween season's over, but I feel like it's Halloween year round now. Beetlejuice.
I knew you were going to say Beetlejuice. Mm. One of my favorites. Just watched it.
Did you see the Broadway musical?
No, I have not.
Yes, I
it's
did.
It's so good.
It was awesome.
It's so much fun. It's, you know, I dare say more fun than the movie, but, you know, it wouldn't have existed without the movie. So I take it back. But
I love the movie. So I love the movie so much. I feel that I was raised on, I saw it at a very young age and I keep watching it. I love it so much.
Okay. Lori, you go first this time. Who do you think out of the cast of Beetlejuice?
Boy. Well, you know what? You got to go big or go home, right? So I'm going to say Michael Keaton.
Okay. Recently appearing in Trial of Chicago 7.
Mm.
Playing Michael Keaton. Man, that guy, he looks like he's chewing gum even when he doesn't have gum in his mouth.
That's true. That's true about him.
What do you think, Julia?
I think because of Schitt's Creek, probably Catherine O'Hara.
That's a great choice. John,
yeah, that was gonna be mine, but I'm gonna just pick a different one for the sporting sake and say because of the voicemail he left his daughter, it's Alec Baldwin.
His daughter, who's now 45. Yes,
yeah, she's not a little piggy anymore. She's a grown up piggy.
Can I say when that came out, I don't know, maybe I was just not that scandalized by that. I was just like, what do you, none of you guys have an Irish dad?
Yeah, he's also a Long Island dad. My dad wasn't Irish, but I had a Long Island dad.
Yeah.
So if my dad knew how to leave a voicemail or didn't die before that tech took off, I would have to be like that.
When Alec Baldwin got in trouble for playing Words with Friends on a plane, I was like, he has friends? all right, so the bad news about Alec Baldwin is he came in number 5.
Yeah, okay, that's going to happen.
Yeah, number 4, Michael Keaton.
Cool.
Yeah, number 3, Gina Davis, the great archer.
Yeah,
yeah. That's Olympic right, archer. She's an Olympic archer.
Yeah.
And number 2, because she's been kind of in and out of the news and has a hit show on Netflix, Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then coming in number 1, you nailed it, Julia. It's Catherine O'Hara.
Hell yeah.
She's great in that movie, great in Schitt's Creek, and great as a person in general.
She's great in literally everything.
Yeah, yeah. So good. Also, Winona is so good in everything.
Yeah. Yes.
I think they really get a fine cast with Beetlejuice, and it's a classic for a reason. But Julia wins this game with 4 points. Congratulations, Julia.
Thank you. Thank
Excellent
you so much.
Work.
I'm on the show.
Yeah, good job, Julia.
Down a
Thank
titan
you.
Like John Gabris and a feisty newbie named Lori Kilmartin.
It was like the Queen's Gambit back here in the second half of this podcast.
That's the other thing I love about Queen's Gambit is you do not learn anything about how chess works.
You just have to have a clean ceiling and then you can become really good at chess.
Yeah, they don't expect you to understand. They just expect you to care and it works. Like, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm excited now, too.
Let's talk plugs. Julia, do you have anything you want people to watch you do?
No, not watch. I would not recommend that. I have a podcast called Reply Guys with my co-host Kay Willett, who's another very funny comedian.
Yes, he was on the show.
Great podcast.
A couple of months ago. Oh,
thank you. Thank you, Lori. It's fun. Give it a listen if you want. I don't, or don't. That's up to you.
I love a podcast that people have the choice whether or not to listen to it.
I think it's good.
You just reminded people of their rights. And
that's true.
I like podcasts that aren't pushy. What about, let's go to John Gabris, the high and mighty.
Yeah, I have my podcast, High and Mighty, but I also have a Patreon movie podcast called Action Boys, which you can get at actionboys.biz with a Z. And it's optional, like most like Julia's podcast, it's optional. And since it costs money, it's more than likely a no. But there are some free episodes. We have a free feed in the podcast app, and you can get free episodes at the actionboys.biz Patreon page. So check us out there.
That's great. I've been enjoying doing my weed show, Getting Dug with High, on Patreon. So maybe we can. Do you have guests on High and Mighty? I mean, excuse me, on Action Boys.
We do every once in a while. Yeah.
Yeah, if you want me to come by and talk about Action Boys, I would love to do so.
Oh yeah, let's do it, bro.
Okay, and Lori Kilmartin.
I have a mandatory podcast.
Finally, is it Biden's idea that everybody?
Yeah, it's very socialist, like Biden. Of course.
It comes with an iPhone, like the U2 album.
It's called the Jackie and Lori Show. I do with Jackie Cation. You mentioned it at the top of the show. It's just us. We have no guests. We talk about comedy and stuff.
Love it. And
yeah,
Annie Lori.
Annie Lori 16 ANYLA. Like you, I admire John's Twitter handle.
Yeah.
I didn't take it seriously when I came up with mine, and now it's a pain in the ass all the time.
Yeah, John, that's the low numbered license plate of the internet.
I've not met a Gabris that I haven't been related to yet in my entire life, and I've only met a handful. But now there's Liz Garbus, who's not now. She's been around for even longer than me. But the closest I've ever seen is Liz Garbus. Since like people always get my name wrong, that's like the common mispronunciation of my name. And now there's a person in my life who has that. She's the documentarian who makes amazing. She did the Michelle McNamara series for HBO too.
Oh wow! Is Gabris Greek?
Well, that's the thing. My dad didn't really know his real dad because he was abandoned, so we don't know without 23andMe. But we think it was like Gabruski at Ellis Island, and it's like Eastern European or Polish or something.
When he was abandoned, did he learn to play chess in an orphanage?
No, he learned to drink from his single mother. So some parts of Queen's Gambit are true for him. More the substance abuse, less the games that he wins money doing.
I'm in a documentary that's coming out 1 month from today that you can pre-order. It's called The Last Blockbuster, and you can get it at your pre-orders in at lastblockbustermovie.com.
Oh, cool.
It's all about the there's only one Blockbuster video rental store in existence, and it's in Bend, Oregon. And I got to go visit and walk around and share my thoughts, and it's a whole documentary about that place. Thank you once again to Lori Kilmartin, Julia Clare, and John Gabris, and hope to have you all back again real soon. And as always, looks like I'm walking.
Heisen Goldman's viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.